The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at South Perth Church of Christ in Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at spcc.org.au.
It'd be good if we all hungered after the word like that. Just got to get people stirred in the right directions, don't we? It's always good to see something brought out in a new sense. Well, for some of you it might have been old, but that's all right. You know, one of the things, hopefully, if you're a part of this church, you would have realised is that we are pretty passionate about the Word of God, and we're passionate about it actually being applied to our lives. It's not just a book. It's way more than the book. We talk about the Bible as being the Word of God. You may have other words to describe it. Why don't you do that now? Don't yell it out, but if I said complete this statement, the Bible is, what's the next word or phrase you would put after that? Just think about it, don't yell it out, but just the Bible is. No, don't yell it out, I said. Tell the person next to you, quietly. The Bible is, we have heard, it's a guide. What else is the Bible? How would you complete that statement? The Bible is love, trustworthy, God's Word, truth. What was that other one? The mind of Christ. Anything in here? Instruction? Freedom. Anything? Keys of life? Key to life? Salvation. Is confronting. Gives light, is light and gives light. Anything from, I was going to say the young side, but John and Julia. Anything from here? The Bible is perfect. So there's no right or, that's what your statements are. There's no right or wrong answer to that. But no one said, Mike said confronting, but no one said boring, something I wish didn't exist, hard to read. But sometimes those words do cross our minds. We think it's pretty confusing sometimes. Sometimes reading through it, I ask myself the question, why on earth is that included? What does that mean? So, the Bible, the Word of God, what is it? In Hebrews 4 it says the Word of God is living and active. It's not a dead book. It's not just black and white. It's not pages with words on it. It's living and active. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Even Simeon was singing, and he's talking about going from cerebral to heart. The Bible is living and active. It judges the heart, judges the thoughts and the intentions even. It's not dead. It's living and active. In Colossians 3:16, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Now that word dwell is feel at home. It's so that there's no sharp edges when we sort of read it. It doesn't go against what we're on about. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you means that more and more we're becoming at home with it. We're moving in the same direction as the word of God is on about. It's interesting, Paul goes on there and he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Initially I'd never really connected that sort of statement. And then I thought, yeah, if the word of Christ is not dwelling richly in me as I teach, then what am I teaching? What am I on about? What's coming out? If I'm not allowing the word of Christ to read me, if I'm not allowing the word of Christ to deal with me, if I'm not facing the mirror of God's word and saying, okay, what's shining back? Then what I teach might not have the same value. We need to provide space for the Word of Christ to dwell richly within us so that we're not always at loggerheads with it. We want to be running in tune with it. You know, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, he says the word, or all scripture, is inspired by God. It's God-breathed, and it's useful. Now, some people think that the Bible is not very useful. They see it as do's and don'ts, and it's not very useful. But it's useful, it's profitable, it's valuable for us. Paul goes on and says in these areas, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that we can be thoroughly equipped for everything good. It's got value. For teaching, as some of you said, it's a guide, it's instruction, it gives you insights on the directions to move in life. There's teaching there. It's also rebuking. It's holding the mirror up and says, the way you are living is not helpful. It's not helpful to the kingdom, it's not helpful to you. This area that you're actually involved in now is dangerous. This is not good. The way you're treating your wife, your son, your husband is not good. So the word is, it rebukes us. But it doesn't leave us there with what you're doing is not good. It actually corrects and it says, this is the way to go. Not that way, but this way. Live in this way. Love. And training in righteousness, the ongoing training in living in a way which is going to reflect something of God's glory. So the Word of God is all of these. But unfortunately, a lot of us, we hear this sort of stuff and then we say, yeah, I know that, I know that. We have a distorted view of the Word at times. Sometimes we see the Word as a hammer that we hit each other over the head with. You know, we like, it's like table tennis, you know. You throw a verse at me and then I beat one back and bang, bang. It's not necessarily like that. So we have distortions in our understanding of the Word. All of us do. We're not perfect in this. But I just hope this morning and hope and pray that maybe just a little bit of a different sense will come through as I share some pictures of what I see the Word of God is. That's my prayer, is that it would become very enticing for us. The first thing I see that the Word of God is, it's a love letter. It's a love letter. You ever written love letters? No one. Now you write love emails or love texts or whatever? I don't know. I do a fair bit of mentoring. And a younger pastor, not a part of our church, but from another church I was mentoring, and he had he didn't have a good feel about who he was. And I gave him an exercise, and I said, look, what I want you to do is I want you to write a love letter to yourself from God. Not from you to God, but from God to you. I want you to write a love letter from God to you. And he goes, oh, it'll be brief. I said, well, we'll give it a shot. So he goes away and does this, and he brings it back next time, and I'm reading it, and we'll call him Bill. And it's got, Bill is he's a good bloke, he works hard, he's reliable. And he goes on like this, and I said, that's not a love letter, it's a reference. I don't want a reference from God for you, I want a love letter. And he goes, oh, all right then. So he goes back and gives it another shot. But you know, God is not about love. God is defined by love. You know, in the Psalms and Deuteronomy, it says that we are the apple of God's eye. Now, God's got a picture of you on his mantelpiece, and he says, look, there's Fiona, she's mine. She is special. I love her. It's Fiona. If you read through the Song of Songs, you'll see an R-rated love story in there. It's fantastic. No, not R-rated, really. It's a picture of a lover and his bride. It's a picture of God with us. God is our lover. So what do lovers do? They write love stories and love letters to each other. It's interesting. I want you to have a go at that as an exercise. It's your homework. Write a love letter to yourself from God. You don't have to hand it in to be marked. All right? But I'd like to hear, if anyone does that, what does it do for you as you do that? I mean, it's not going to help God. But maybe it'll release you in a new area. Maybe it'll give you a new sense of how God sees you. You'll feel pretty stupid writing it out, but no one's going to read it, so it doesn't matter. But it's for your benefit. You do that as homework. Write a love letter from God to you. And then email me what happened for you. In the midst, you can email me the letter if you like. I promise not to tell anyone, alright? But it's interesting, tonight we have live streams. Our next stages are starting in live streams. And one of the streams, Jeremy Beckett is doing one, and it's called The Biblical Love Story. And he's looking at the Bible as a love story and flowing through. So if you want to do that one, sign up for that. That starts tonight for 4 weeks. It's interesting when I've been to a lot of weddings. And at weddings we have speeches, at the reception anyway. And sometimes speeches can make or break a wedding. But anyway, you've got the best man often gets up and gives a speech. And as part of his speech, he usually roasts the groom and says some good things about him. But then at the end, he says, "All right, I want to propose a toast to the bridesmaids." Seen that? You heard that? Yeah, good. "I want to propose a toast to the bridesmaids." And then he says something like, "You know, the bridesmaids have done a fantastic job. You know, look at the bride. She's so beautiful. They've done a great job in preparing her for this day. And I've never heard a best man say, you know, they worked all day on her, but that's the best we could come up with." And it seems dumb that, you know, this girl is suddenly beautiful because of the effort of these bridesmaids on the day. I mean, there's something they've got to start with anyway, and she could probably do it without them. But that's often the speech that is given. And we realise that that's what the Word of God is, because we are the bride of Christ. And the work of the Word is to make us beautiful. To make us beautiful, not just for when the bridegroom comes, but so that when people see us and they look at us, they see something of the beauty of Christ in us. That's what the Word of God is on about. As it more moves into our life and as we engage with it, as it touches us, this love story, it causes us to become more like Christ. And we get a picture of beauty. Now, for a man to try and think about Jesus being a groom, that's a tough thing for a man to consider himself as a bride. But we are the bride of Christ, not I. We are the bride of Christ. Okay? It's interesting, in our society we have a lot of legalism that hits us. There's a lot of dirt floating around, like a pollutant that settles on us and dulls us. And Keith Farmer, when he spoke to us as a staff a while ago, he said, you know, we really need to be drip-fed the Word of God, because the Word of God is about love and grace. And if we're going to deal with all the pollutant that hits us all the time, then we've got to try and drip feed the love and the grace of God into our lives. Engaging with the love letter of Christ is at least a way that we can drip feed the Word of Christ into our lives, the love and the grace of Christ. I encourage you to be involved in that. The second, why is it doing that? What am I doing? I'm moving. The second thing, and it flows on from this, is that we see the Word as God sharing His heart with us. I didn't do anything then. You did something then. Being sabotaged from the back. We've got to see the Word as God sharing His heart with us. Okay? Sometimes we look at it and we think it's a dry book that's got a lot of do's and don'ts and that's trying to muck me life up, trying to keep me from enjoying life. But if we see it as a love letter, if we see it as God sharing His heart with us, it puts a different spin on it. For example, if you take the Ten Commandments, and you might say, well, they're commandments, they're law, they're laws. But if you see it as God sharing His heart with us, then it makes it so much different. Because when the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other God before me," God's heart is that we experience life to the max. And He knows that if we have other gods before Him, we're going to miss out. We're going to rob ourselves of joy and life. So when He says, "Don't have other gods before me," it's because His heart is that we would experience Him to the max. When He says, "Don't steal," do not steal, it's not to hurt us, it's to actually help us, because He knows that if we steal, we will rob ourselves of life and of His generosity. Don't commit adultery. He knows that if we commit adultery, it's actually going to cause big problems in our relationship with other people and with Him. It's going to actually cut across it. And His heart is for us to enjoy Him to the max. Do you understand that? So when we read anything that looks like a do it or don't, realize that it's actually God's heart and it's there for a reason. His heart is that we would experience life to the full. Got to keep that in the back of our minds. If you think of the story, and I might have shared this before with you, of Abraham and Isaac. They're wandering up the hill. Abraham's been told to sacrifice this son of his who he's just been waiting 100 years for. And so he's heading up the hill with this son. We don't really know how old Isaac was at that point. Walking up the hill, and at some point Isaac says, "Hey Dad, we've forgotten something. Where's the sacrifice?" God will provide. It'll be okay. And if we hear the heart of God here, it's not, I'm going to make it hard for you as a father, but it's, if we hear the heart of God, He's saying to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm on the same journey with you. Because I'm walking with my son towards Calvary, where there's going to be separation between us for the first and only time ever. My heart aches over that." So when you go through tough times, hear God's heart. "I know what you're going through," saying, "I'm with you." Interesting, Graham Faulkner came pretty excited into the office on Thursday morning. I was just sitting there and he came in and he said, "Well, what do you want?"
Just where's your pen?
Here you
are. Well, look at that.
Oh. I'll tuck my shirt in.
Alright.
Worked. Well done. Anyway, Graham comes into the office and he says, "Wow, did you get the..." He said, "What I read in 2 Samuel 14:14 this morning was fantastic." And I said, "Oh, wow, what hit you?" And he goes, "Oh," he said, "listen to this. Where is it? God devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him." That's God's heart. God devises ways. So if you're here this morning, then God is devising ways so that if you're feeling removed from Him, if you're feeling like you're in rebellion, if you're feeling like God's a long way away, He's devising ways. He's putting people in your life. He's doing things so that you won't stay there. So that you'll come into closer relationship with Him. He's at work in there. That's an exciting thing. If you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, if you've never given your life to Christ and you're saying, "Well, I don't know if this is worthwhile," you need to know that God loves you far more than you can ever imagine. He's for you. He's not against you. And He's devising ways to get you to a point where you can actually make an informed decision about Jesus. That's His heart. His heart is for you to come into relationship with Him. Your heart is, His heart is for you to stay in a good relationship with Him, where there's not tension. That's God's heart. You know, the most powerful way to motivate someone is through the heart. The emotions. I'm doing a course at the moment. We're talking about this whole aspect of emotions and the value of them and the power of them. The best way to motivate people is through their heart. Once the heart is connected, there's motivation. Now, you can motivate externally and by telling them if you don't do this, you'll get hurt and all this sort of stuff. But if it grips your heart, there's motivation. There's passion. Ah! I was thinking about movies that we watch. And the movie makers, they understand this. They often will have a love story in the movie. You notice that? Titanic is not about a ship that's sinking. It's a love story. Okay, it's about a love story. Movie makers know that if we put a love story that is not sappy and soppy, but if we put a love story there entangled and moving through the movie, people's hearts will be there. And they'll get the heart. Makes a big difference. So we need to see the Word of God as a love letter. It's God sharing His love with us, but it's God sharing His heart with us. So when you read it, see it as that. If you're thinking, boy, this is pretty boring, just say, wait a minute, this is God's love letter to me. It's God sharing his heart with me. I'm missing something here. And engage with it. Another picture that I think helps is also this whole picture of fresh bread. We've used it a bit. But the Word of God is like fresh bread. Fresh bread. We encourage people to be in their journals and reading. And part of the reason I like this is because it actually forces me, no, it doesn't force me, but it gives me a way and an encouragement to actually read through passages of Scripture that I know a lot of the other in the church. Who's working through these, by the way? If you haven't got a journal, you can get one free at the info desk if you're a part of our church. But it really helps because actually I realise that I'm reading through what other people in the church are reading through. And as I'm reading through this, you know, sometimes you can read and you think, oh yeah, well, that's no big deal. But as you meditate and like a cow chews the cud, you think through it, you reflect on it. And as I start to write sometimes, it's then that the reality of what God's trying to say to me comes through. So I find journaling is very helpful. My brother-in-law was, Raymond's brother was telling me a while ago that he was on holidays in Victoria last year, and they stayed in this motel on the south coast of Victoria. And he said when they opened their motel room and went in, there was this incredible smell. Every motel room had a bread maker in it, and the bread was timed just to come out when they walked in. And he said, oh, it was fantastic. He said, it didn't take a lot for them to do that, but they know that fresh bread is attractive. The smell of fresh bread is attractive. Don't know what it tasted like, but anyway, he said it was great to smell. And he said, doing that meant that everyone we tell will say, stay in that motel because they have a bread maker there. And it's fantastic. The smell is great, and then you get bread that you can use for the next day as you travel. There's something about fresh bread, whether we smell it and when we eat it, it's just great. We need to see the Word, or it's great to see the Word, as fresh bread. Something that is enticing. Too often, Satan gets us to see as this is too hard. And he'll bring in, it's a spiritual battle, by the way, if you didn't know that. He will make this look like the hardest thing in the world to pick up and open. The newspaper is far more enticing, and it's got zilch in it, of good stuff. It's dead. When you get into this, it becomes Word of Life stuff. Bread. Fresh bread. I just encourage you to be in that. You know, I was reading from Psalm 64, and there's this whole aspect of standing in awe of God and the amazing things that he's done. And it's interesting, being Saturday, I had a bit more space in the morning to actually reflect. And I just sat out under my patio on the back table, and I just started to think and reflect about all the things that God's done and doing that I don't know about. And he gave me some great pictures. And this morning I'm reading in Mark chapter 16, and as the women are walking towards the tomb, wondering, how are we going to get the stone away? But there's one little phrase that hit me, and it says, when they looked up, they saw. And it's just like God was saying to me, keep looking up. If you walk around with your head wondering about the problems and wondering how life's going to work, you're going to be in trouble. But when you look up, then you get to see. Because when I look at Jesus, when I look up and consider what's he doing, you know, if I walk around like this, I forget that God's actually working a bigger area. When I look at what God's doing, and when I look at what is happening in my life and things like that, I get God's perspective on it. It's just helpful. Okay, the Word of God is fresh bread. Get into it on a regular basis. Sometimes it connects just perfectly, and sometimes it's like, meh. Sometimes it's just a reminder of some things. I remember in March I went to India. And for the first week I was going to be travelling by myself. The other two guys from South Perth met me in Bangalore later on. But I flew from Perth to Singapore, then to Calcutta. And I was going up to right just below the Bhutan border in northeast India. And I was going to meet Jayakumma in Calcutta. I hoped anyway. We'd sort of planned to meet there. And I was a bit... You know, I was teaching a course up there by myself, and normally I go with guys for the whole time, and I was just thinking, I wonder how it's going to go. And there's a little bit of, not anxiety, but just thinking, I wonder what's going to happen. Will it be okay? Will it be as good? Anyway, Rhema dropped me at the airport, and I'm sitting there with about an hour and a half, and I thought I'd just I'll go through the journal reading where I'm up to, and we're reading through Galatians 1. And I had the message there that I was reading out of. And Galatians 1, Paul says, he goes through a bit of his life story. And he makes the comment there and he says, when I went down to Jerusalem, I was only there 15 days, but what days they were. God spoke to me out of that verse. Now that's a fairly random verse for God to speak to you out of. The reason he spoke to me about it was, he said to me, you're in India 15 days. And what days they will be. They will be way beyond your wildest dreams. The last verse of that chapter says, and they worshipped and praised and glorified God because of me. Now, I didn't think, oh, I'm going to be really good like that. But it just reassured me that God was saying, right at this point when you're feeling a little bit of apprehension, I want to reaffirm you through a verse that 99.99% of the times wouldn't be even noticed. I only spent 15 days in Jerusalem, but what days they were. I only spent 15 days in India, but what days they will be. You know, God speaks sometimes in very direct ways when you're at a point of need. It's just very reassuring. Be encouraged by that. You know, Philippians 2, Paul says that we stand as children of God in a wicked and perverted and a rough generation, shining like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. If I'm not in the word of life, if the word of life is not in me, if it's not dwelling richly within me, what word am I holding out? I only hold out what's in here. I only shine out what's in me. So I really encourage you to see that reading the word, engaging in the word of God, letting this word of Christ dwell richly within you is not just about you. Let's not be selfish about it. It's not just about, will I feel better? It's about the people in your world. Because the more the word of God touches your life as you engage with it, the more other people around you see Jesus. The more you have discernment, the more you're able to bring life and freedom and hold out the word of life to other people around you. You know, I'm a pretty ugly person to live with if I'm not in the word of God. There's not too many. You can ask my family. I don't read this because I'm super spiritual and I've got it together. I read this because if I don't, I'm in deep trouble. And so are those around me. I have to engage with the word of Christ. I have to. But if I just see it as a hard-line book, I'm in trouble. Because no matter who you are, if you haven't got that motivation, you're going to struggle. So see it as a love letter. See it as God sharing his heart with you. See it as fresh bread that you desperately need so that other people get some fresh bread as well during the day. I mean, we've got to do it daily, just like the manna in the Old Testament. You can't collect a week's worth. Do it as often as you can. You know, John's doing a series at the moment on the whole area of healthy relationships. And if I'm engaging in the Word of God, if I'm engaging in the Word of Christ, my relationships will be healthier. Because more and more that's flowing out. More and more that's what people are seeing. So the Word of God is a love letter. It's God sharing his heart with us. It's fresh bread. Really encourage you to be in it. Alone by yourself, but also with a group. You know, I find on a Wednesday morning I'm out with a group of guys and we do our journaling together. We read and we journal and we share what God's saying. And when we pray into it, that's one of my favourite mornings of the week. Because I get to hear what God's saying and doing in other people's lives. I really encourage you, if you're not in a life group, if you're not in a group that is engaging in the Word of Christ together, you're missing out. And so are those people around you. Because God wants to speak into your life and speak through your life. If you don't know how to get into a life group, then indicate on the care card and we'll help you to do that. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 5, and he's talking to the religious leaders here, he says, you guys, you diligently study the Scriptures. You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you will possess eternal life. You want eternal life? These are the Scriptures that testify about me, says Jesus. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. You see, the Word of God is about Jesus. And Jesus was talking about the Old Testament when he was talking to these Pharisees. The Word of Christ is the Word of Christ. It's about Jesus. It points us to Jesus. I really encourage you more and more. Engage in the Word. Not just for your own sake, but for the sake of all those around you. Because it will draw you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. You'll get a fresh picture of who He is and what He's wanting to do in your life. You'll get the reassurance. You'll get encouragement. You'll get the correcting. But remember, it's a love story. It's God sharing His heart with you. Enjoy the fresh bread and don't forget to do your assignment. Write a love letter from God to you. I think it'll reaffirm some of the things in your life. Can I pray for you? Father, I just thank You so much for the fact that Your Word has been given to us. Lord, at times we treat it very flippantly. We leave it on a shelf and we try and operate and we try and minister without it. Lord, remind us again that it's Your love story. It's You sharing Your heart with us. It's You wanting to more and more fill us with the things of Yourself so that we can pass these on. Father, we want to stand firm in this wicked and perverse generation. We want to shine like stars in the universe, and we want to shine and hold out the Word of Life to people. Father, may the Word of Life impact our lives so we can do that. I just pray for each person here, for those who are in Christ and for those who aren't. I pray that they would be drawn closer to Jesus. I pray that they would be drawn to engaging in the Word of God in deeper, richer ways. Father, thank You again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just ask these guys just to sing a song. And as they sing, it's a song that talks about what I've just been sharing, about God pursuing us and His love for us. As they sing, obviously you'll listen to the words, but I want you to just listen also, what has God been saying to you? Because He's been speaking to you. Might have been through something I said. But God's been saying something to you. Don't let it drift out. Okay? Intentionally allow God to do His work in you. God bless.